a saying. She had lots of sayings. Any of you had grandmas or grandpas with sayings? You're all laughing, right? I know some of you might be that grandma or grandpa that utters that saying, right? All the time. Anyways, grandma had a saying. My grandma usually would start her sayings with, "My dad used to say." And so, for example, she would say, "My dad used to say, there's always a week to make hay in June." Okay? She didn't have that with this saying. I don't know why not. Maybe this was just grandma's. But anyways, here is her saying. She used to say this, "We always have a crop, and it'll be enough." I appreciate the opportunity to be with all of you all this morning. I'm looking forward to being here and be able to talk about what we're going to get to talk about this morning, the parable of the sower. I really appreciate the Lima crew and the hard work that goes on behind the scenes to make this thing go on. And so I hope you guys appreciate their hard work. There's always somebody behind the scenes doing the grunt work, doing the crud jobs, I guess, so to speak. And so I really appreciate them. So it's great to be here with you this morning and to be able to take some time to look at this parable of the sower. And I guess the best option for the sower is the farmer. So that's what you're going to get this morning. So here's where we're going. I want us to obviously take some time to look at the parable itself, but I want you to do that through the eyes of a farmer, through the eyes of a sower a little bit. What I want to do is just try to paint a picture a little bit for you from that side as the sower. Jesus explains this parable for us, so obviously we want to pay real close attention to his explanation and what he has to say about it. And my hope is when we're done, be able to draw some real practical conclusions to really encourage us today along the way as we keep sowing. And notice some things from the side of the sower, from the side of the soil that gets talked about, and also a little bit about the seed. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. The parable is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so Mark 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, but we're going to be in Mark 4. I picked that one just because I'm teaching and I can. So Mark chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9 where Jesus actually tells this parable. And we'll start with that, and then we'll come back in a minute and read his explanation of that. So Mark chapter 4, and we'll start here in verse 1. "He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, 'Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So here Jesus comes, very large crowd is gathered around, and so he does the obvious thing, gets into a boat and sits down in the boat and begins to teach the crowd that's come and assembled there on the land. And don't know how big the crowd, but obviously pretty good sized crowd. He gets out on the water to teach them and teaches them many things in parables. And Mark records this one for us, the parable of the sower. And so the sower goes out to sow. Now, let me ask you this to start with. Any of you sowed any seeds this year? Now, let me qualify. Well, I'll try to start simple. Did anybody plant any kind of seed this year, like maybe a flower in a pot? Anybody do, I mean, some hands. Some of you have done that. Okay, that's good. If you just bought a flower from the store, we're going to say you were cheating. Okay. How many of you have a garden? How many hands? People who actually, so you actually spent some time sowing some actual seeds in a garden. That's not as many hands as I thought I might see. Okay. All right. Some of you actually went out and, anybody sit in a tractor seat in front of a planter this year and do that level of sowing? Okay, I didn't think I would probably get any of those. And so I did this on purpose because some of the things I want to talk about today, I really do want to try to paint a picture of what it's like from the standpoint of a farmer when it comes to sowing, because I don't know how familiar we are with sowing as a culture anymore. Some of you have done it on a small scale, on a small level, but for me as a farmer, the things Jesus talks about really, really make sense and really practical things. And so that's one reason why I want to take a little bit of time and let you in on the farmer side of this, because I think it helps us understand the parable. So the idea here is the sower sowing seed. And the idea is broadcasting seed. Am I speaking a foreign language to all of you, or do you know what it means to broadcast seed? So generally, the sower would wear some kind of a bag that would hold the seed, and he'd reach in and grab a handful and just start throwing that seed, okay? As he would walk, grab and throw. Maybe do with both hands. I've done it before with some seed in the garden, sowing rye seed in the garden, and I usually just use one hand. It's a little harder. Anyways, that's the idea of broadcasting seed. And that's the picture we get here. The sower went out to sow, and he just grabs a big handful and throws it out there, okay? Now, I don't know, you guys aren't farmers like me, maybe you don't think about it in this way, but I thought of some things that sowing is. When you think about sowing seed, for the farmer, sowing is, it's fun. It's fun. Now, it might have something to do with big tractors and big equipment, big toys, that might be a part of that, but it's fun. It's fun to sow. And nothing makes a farm boy more excited than being able to put seed in the ground. And if you've never experienced that, that might be something that's foreign to you. But it's pretty exciting to be able to put that seed in the ground. You'd be amazed at how motivated this makes a farm boy when it comes to getting his chores done, to getting his schoolwork done. It's quite a motivation. And I don't want to name any names. Somebody you might know that's from my family has been known to shed tears because he had dishes that weren't done and Dad was going down the lane in the tractor. It's quite a motivator, right? Why? Because sowing seeds is fun. It's fun to do that. And so I wanted all my kids to be able to know how to do those kinds of jobs on the farm. Nobody likes to do the crud job. So for Andrew to be stuck in the house doing the crud job was not fun. When you could be in the tractor, I mean, that's the fun job, right? But I wanted them to be able to do those crud jobs, the other things that need to be done. And I think that's true for the Christians, guys. We need to be able to do the crud jobs, but also do the sowing job, too. And so not just be the one who always wants to do the fun job, but be there to do those other jobs that have to be done. So, but sowing is fun. Some other things that describe sowing as a farmer, okay? Sowing is hard work. And I know some of you are going, yeah, I've seen those tractors go by and it's on auto steer and the farmer's sitting there like this. But it's hard work, okay? It's hard work. It means, sowing means, when you're sowing that seed, it's filled with a lot of promise. We're putting this seed in the ground, and there's promise of a harvest. And so there's a lot of expectation when it comes to sowing seed. Sowing's a gamble. It's a risk. Every time I put seed in the ground, I'm taking a little bit of a risk. Okay? It means some long days, some long nights. For me, not so much the long nights anymore because I can't stay awake like that. Andrew does, but I can't. Okay? It's a lot of work. It means some of those things. It means when it's time to go, when it's time to plant, you got to be ready to go. And there's nothing worse than being stuck in the barn lot making repairs when you ought to be in the field working. And so it means you got to be ready to go when it's time to go. It also means you can't sow while you're sitting in the house. You just can't do it. You got to get out in the field. Because you can't do it sitting in the house, okay? So when it's time to plant, when it's time to sow, the main goal for us on the farm is to keep that planter going. And it takes a lot of things to keep that planter going. Somebody's got to bring seed. Somebody's got to bring fertilizer. Somebody's got to bring fuel. Somebody's got to bring fuel for the guy driving the tractor. That always helps. There's a lot of support that has to go into that. But the main job is to keep the seed going in the ground. Because time matters. Rain's coming, and so you got to put the seed in the ground. And so again, I'm just trying to paint a little bit of a picture for you all this morning that maybe aren't real familiar with sowing, what goes behind that and what goes into it, and the expectation that we have as a farmer when we're putting that seed in the ground. All right, so let's talk about the things that Jesus has to say here. So the sower goes out to sow, and the seed falls on the soil. And so it gives us four examples of the types of soil that this falls on. So the first one there in verse 4 is the seed falls beside the road. Falls beside the road. And the birds come and eat it up. Now, there's nothing more frustrating to the sower than for something to happen to the seed before it even has a chance. That's frustrating, okay? We make sure when we're putting corn in the planter that none of those seeds fall on the ground. Because it has to be, seed corn especially, has to have good seed-to-soil contact. So it has to be put in the ground. If it's laying on the ground, it's a waste. Something's going to come and eat it. And it's not going to be able to produce anything at all. Besides that, it's kind of expensive to buy it. All right? There is that. Okay? I remember the first crop of corn I planted, how anxiously I awaited to see a little plants of corn coming out of the ground. And I had something invested in that, see? I was waiting on that. And so there's nothing worse than having a seed that just falls and gets eaten up before it even has a chance. But that's the first example Jesus says. Some of the seed falls beside the roads, and guess what? The birds come and get it. That's the reality of it, guys. Sometimes the seed just gets eaten up. So you need to spend a little bit of time sowing to understand the value of that seed and how hard that is to see it just get snatched up and not go anywhere. But if you haven't spent any time sowing, it's a little harder to understand that. It matters. All right, the second thing is the rocky ground. That's there in verse 5. A seed is sown on the rocky ground. And here the seed springs up, and starts. It germinates, springs up, starts to grow. But the sun comes along and the sun cooks it, right? It gets smoked from the sun. Okay? Now, I look at this and think of this in terms of maybe some external factors, some environmental factors that affect the seed, right? Okay, and so it never produces anything, gets cooked by the sun. Now, at our farm, we have a couple 20-acre fields that are right next to each other. And to get to the furthest one to the north, you have to drive across the first one. And so wherever we drive across that path, it never raises a crop. You go, well, why do you plant on the path, Matt? Because it's easier to plant through it than to pick the planter up and set it back down, right? You just plant through it, but it never raises anything. The soil gets compacted right there. When we drive through there with the trucks hauling the grain out in the fall, you drive through there with the sprayer to spray the crops, and that's where you drive, right? And it never raises anything. What happens is, because of the compaction, the sun comes up, it smokes it, right? It scorches it. It dies. It doesn't produce anything. And so you have those external factors that you got to deal with, right? I mean, for us as a farmer, the weather is, we're subject to the weather. And regardless of what the summer does, it's going to affect whether we make any money or not, right? We're subject to that. It's an environmental factor. There are other things that we have to deal with, particularly on the farm. Insects, pests, disease, plant diseases, okay? Those kinds of things that we can't control. They're a reality. And sometimes they come in and smoke that crop before it even has a chance. And in this case, that rocky ground, it springs up and the sun scorches it, and it really doesn't make anything. Okay? Some of those you can try to address. On the farm, we try to deal with the pests. If we get plant diseases, we try to deal with that as best we can. You can try to manage that a little bit. But the fact remains, it's a reality. Those things are there. They're a reality. And so that's the case here when the sower's sowing the seed. Sometimes that's where it falls, on the rocky ground, and the sun smokes it out, and it doesn't do any good. Okay? Primarily, it doesn't have any root is what happens. There's no root. And so it doesn't take much sun to scorch it out when there's no root. All right, the third example Jesus gives us is the seed from verse 7 there. The seed falls among the thorns, and the thorns choke it out. And it doesn't make any yield. Now, weeds have to be dealt with, guys. You got to deal with the weeds. That's just the reality. You got to deal with the weeds. How many gardeners in here again? Guys that were gardeners, raise your hand. That'll help wake you up after that breakfast, right? How many lots of you, right? Gardeners, how do you feel about weeds? Boo, hiss, right? I know, your garden starts out like the master gardener in the spring, doesn't it? And by the time fall rolls around, how's it generally look? like a weed patch, right? You got to deal with the weeds, don't you? You got to deal with them. They're there. And a funny thing I've noticed about weeds, and it's just maddening. Maybe you've noticed this too. I don't know. Here's the thing about weeds. When you have a really hot spell, guess what happens to the weeds? They grow good. If you have a cold spring, guess what the weeds do? They grow good. If you have too much water, what do the weeds do? They still grow. If it's really dry, what do the weeds do? They still grow. Did you guys up here in Ohio get the late frost in May, Mother's Day weekend, that frost? Okay. Yeah, we got it at home. It smoked some of the beans. We had to replant some of the crops at home. I came out of the barn that Sunday morning, and man, you could just see the frost, and there were those two little leaves on the beans just covered with it. Oh, boy. You know what didn't affect the weeds? The frost didn't kill the weeds. The mare's tail and the giant ragweed, guess what? It's going like gangbusters, right? You got to deal with the weeds. It's a reality. They're there. You got to deal with them, okay? I always smile inside when somebody comments to me in the springtime, "Oh, did you see that pretty little purple flower? It's over all the fields." Yeah, that's called dead nettle. Really? Yeah, it's so pretty. It's a weed. It's a weed. But nothing ever phases the weeds. They keep growing. They keep growing. You got to deal with the weeds. If you expect a crop, you got to do something about the weeds. Okay? And then fourthly, we have the seed is sown on the good soil. Bringing in the harvest is what's really fun. It's special. And if you've never invested in a crop and been able to bring that in, you guys that are gardeners, how fun is it to go out there and be able to pick that first big juicy tomato, right? Or get that first ear of sweet corn to eat. It's a great reward for the harvest to come in. And so when the seed sows on the good soil, it yields a crop. It yields a crop, okay? And it's very rewarding. One thing that I've noticed, guys, the good soil always out-yields the bad. Always does, even in a bad year. Now, last year, we were pretty dry in Indiana late in the summer. Reverse it. 2012, we had a drought, really bad drought. And I remember Andrew being in the combine with me. He wasn't real big, and we started through the field, and there was no ears on the corn at all. And we're going and nothing. And finally, Andrew says, "Dad, is there any corn out here at all?" I said, "Son, I hope so." And sure enough, you'd hit a spot where the soil would change, and there'd be some ears. And then you'd get out of that, and then there'd be nothing. So the good soil always yields. Even in a bad year, there will be a yield on that good soil. One of the things you have to learn, guys, as sowers, is the variability that's there in the soil. We recognize that quickly on the farm. It's a little bit harder in your garden in the backyard to notice that, but on the farm, in a field of any size, the soil variability is unbelievable. And a little bit, I just can't believe it changes that much and that quickly. And it really does. And it's something you have to recognize. That's the reality. There's variability in the soil. You just got to learn to deal with that. That's how it is. And so that's one of the things that we see. Jesus is describing these four different types of soil, and there's variability. Last year, we did have a dry spell, and I remember last year, it was quite interesting. Most of the fields at home you could drive by, and you could tell where the soil changed by the look of the crops. The soybeans, it was especially evident. On the dry spots, there would be no leaves, just a stem and a few pods. You'd get down to the better ground where it had a little more moisture, and there were still leaves hanging on, even at the end of the fall. And it was amazing. You could see how those lines went through a field, and you could see the variability. And once again, I'm just trying to paint a picture for you guys this morning to help us understand the practical things Jesus is trying to get us to recognize. There is variability in the soil, and you got to recognize that it's there. You can try to fight it, but you can't change it. The soil is what the soil is. And so I just want you to understand that, okay? So the sower sows, the seed lands in the four different types of soil, and the variability is there is something you got to recognize. All right, let's read Jesus' explanation. So let's jump down to verse 13. So Jesus is going to explain this. I know you guys have heard more about corn and crops and soil than you ever thought you would, right? It's not really about that. So verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." Oh, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's quite interesting. Quite interesting. We're not really talking about soil, are we? We're talking about men. Mankind, that's what we're talking about. So the sower actually sows the word of God. That's the seed. All right. This idea is particularly interesting to me, guys, as a farmer. This is very interesting because I understand the potential for yield that's contained in that little seed. I don't know if you think about that, you guys that planted seed. When you plant that seed, you think about the potential that's there in that seed. It's one of the things that I always think about. It brings the expectation, the hope of a crop. In the spring is the potential that's there in that seed to produce. The genetics that are in corn and soybeans and wheat and any other thing you plant, even your tomatoes, the genetics that are in that to produce a yield is pretty awesome. You know, corn is designed genetically. It's able to produce an ear at every leaf collar. Okay? That's the potential that it has. Usually you get one good one, sometimes two. Why not? Well, some of the factors affect that, right? But think of the potential that's there. And that's pretty exciting. I did, just by way of comparison for you, these are some things I deal with just to get you thinking about the potential that seed has. One soybean seed planted in the ground produces a plant which will produce anywhere between 150 to 300 grains. One seed 150 to 300. If I could take your dollar and invest it today and give you 300 tomorrow, would you guys do it? Oh, yeah. Okay. The genetic potential that's there. See, the seed has that potential to produce. And that's pretty exciting. We plant about 180,000 seeds to the acre when it comes to soybeans. Okay. So just give you an idea. One grain of wheat can produce anywhere from 50 to 100. One grain of wheat, okay? We plant about 1 million of those an acre, all right? Depending on how many tillers come off of that one seed, what it can produce. One seed of corn, 500 to 600 kernels. Yeah, you'll really give me your dollar if I can get you 500 or 600 back, won't you? Okay? And so I want you to think about the potential for yield when the Word of God is sown. That's what's really getting sown here, guys, is the Word of God. And the picture is us broadcasting that out and throwing that out. It's designed to produce yield. 30, 60, 100 times is what Jesus said. That's exciting, the potential that's there. Okay? 30, 60 to 100 times as much that's sown. You see why I said sowing is fun? It's fun. Okay? Now, guys, what will the word produce? What are we supposed to be reproducing? You put a grain of wheat in the ground, what do you expect to get? Yeah, that's good. You guys can be farmers. You put corn in the ground, what do you expect to get? Okay, well, the Word of God produces what? If we're sowing, if we're Christian sowing, what should we be reproducing? More Christians, right? Pretty simple, isn't it? Okay? How you do that is sowing the Word. Sowing the Word. How you're going to get that done. So sowing's fun. Sowing is filled with a lot of promise, guys. Anytime you sow the Word of God, it's filled with so much promise of a harvest. I don't know if you look at sowing the Word of God in that way, but I think we should. It's filled with so much promise, so much hope of a return, right? But you know what it's going to take? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of long hours. It just does. That's the only way you're going to get there. And it's a risk. It really is. If you're going to throw the Word of God out there, there's some risk in that. Okay? And I think some of us decide the risk isn't worth it, so we're not going to try. So, does the idea of sowing the Word of God motivate you to get your chores done early so you can go sow? And I think we need to think of it in those terms, guys. All right, the sower is not specified here in this passage. So in some of the parables, Jesus will say, this is this person, this is this. The sower just sows. And so literally, it's the one sowing. The one sowing sows. That's what he does. Did Jesus sow? Well, sure he did, right? And he was sowing right then, wasn't he? He was sowing. Some of his seed fall on rocky ground beside the road. But some of it did produce a crop too, didn't it? How about the apostles? Are they sowers? Yeah, he was helping to get them ready to be even more, wasn't he? How about some of their seed? How's it going to go? Well, some of it's going to fall beside the road, and some of it's going to yield too, isn't it? What about us? We sowers? Supposed to be, aren't we? So what do you think is going to happen when we sow the Word of God? Well, it's going to fall in all those same kind of places, isn't it? Okay, the sower sows. That's what the sower does. The one sowing, he just sows. Every Christian can benefit from spending time sowing the Word of God. You can. You can benefit from sowing the seed. And I think we can make a really strong case for the responsibility of each Christian to be busy sowing. You really don't quite understand the value of that seed until you've spent some time sowing. Okay? Now, I don't know how many of you guys dig into the Greek when you're doing any of your personal Bible studies or trying to, on your own study, or trying to teach. I don't know if any of you guys do or not. I try to do a little bit. Sometimes it's helpful. It's not always. Sometimes it's not helpful. But one of the things I've noticed is a lot of times the thing that stands out the most is not, what's that word mean, but the tense of the verb that gets used in the sentence. Sometimes that's quite intriguing. For example, some of you might be familiar with 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, justified. In the Greek, that's the aorist tense. This is too early in the morning for Greek, isn't it? Aorist tense is punctiliar action. You like that? That's a good word. You don't know what that means, do you? Punctiliar is point action. Okay. So you were washed, sanctified, justified. So the aorist tense really brings that out. Now here in the parable of the sower, when Jesus says the sower sows, that verb sows is in the present tense. Present tense in the Greek is linear action. What's linear action? That's continuous action. What's the sower do? He sows. When? It's linear action. All the time. Sower sows. That's what the sower does. He sows. Okay? Linear action. Although that's quite interesting. I wasn't surprised, but I thought that was quite interesting. So, how often should this sowing go on? All the time. Who should be sowing? The answer is me. The answer is me. Who should be sowing? Me. That's how you answer that one, right? Me. Okay? All right, so the seed falls beside the road. These hear the word and don't understand. And that's in verse 15 for us. They hear the word, but they don't understand. And Satan comes and snatches away the word that's sown. Matthew adds about them not understanding. Mark didn't make that point. Matthew adds that. Luke even adds that they hear and don't understand, but the result is they will not believe and be saved. So it gets snatched up before anything can happen, anything can come about from that seed being sown. Okay? And I really think it's true that you don't quite understand the value of that seed until you invested in it and then you've seen it get snatched up. Until you've experienced that, you don't quite understand how valuable that seed was and it got snatched up. And how sometimes that's kind of frustrating, isn't it? Okay? You know, we never wanted any seed corn to fall out of the bag and hit the ground. We wanted it in the planter, right? You want that seed to go where it's supposed to go and do what it needs to do. All right? But how much yield is realized if I never throw the seed out? Because it might not. Because it might get snatched away. Well, I better not throw that out because that bird might get it. Well, if I don't throw it out, I've lost all chance of any kind of yield, right? Okay? But But sometimes that's what happens. It gets snatched away. See, guys, sowing is fun. It's fun to sow, but there's risk. There's risk. And I want you to think about this. Are you willing to take the risk and sow anyways? Are you willing to take the risk and sow that seed anyways? Some of the seed falls between or among the rocky places, verses 16 and 17. These hear, they receive the word with joy, they have no firm root, and what comes? Oh, persecution comes from where? From the word. And they fall away. Problem is, there aren't any good roots. No firm roots is what Jesus says. Now, I can't make a plant put roots down, can I? You guys that sow stuff, can you make it grow roots? That's just what it does, right? It should grow roots. That's the normal process. And if it's not growing roots, we got bigger problems, right? Okay? But if given the chance, it will. It will. Okay? But with this example that Jesus gives us here, the persecutions come and it doesn't have the time to put down those firm roots. Guys, the persecutions always come. They always come. Get ready because they're coming. If you haven't faced them, get ready. They're coming. They just do. That's the reality. You learn that stuff quick when you're sowing seeds, don't you? Those things come. Those external factors come. It's the reality. And so for some, it never gets any good roots. And so whenever it gets hard, they're out. And I know how frustrating that is when you've worked with somebody and you're hoping the roots start to grow, but they just don't. Something comes along and they're out. Okay? It's quite a challenge. It's hard, right? It's hard to see that. But that's the reality of it. It's not any fun. That's the reality of it. Okay? But I think every Christian needs to experience that. Every Christian needs to experience sowing the seed and that thing germinates. And boy, we got lots of promise. And then all of a sudden the persecution comes. You need experience going through that with somebody. It makes you a better sower. Or it should. See, I think a lot of times we think, well, the risk isn't worth it. Are you willing to take the risk anyways and sow that seed? Right? How about those that fell among the thorns? The seed fell among the thorns. These hear the word, the worries of the world. Ah, the worries of the world. The deceitfulness of riches, right? Ah, the desires for other things. What's that do? It chokes it out. And the result is it's unfruitful. This idea also is particularly interesting to me because I know what it's like to walk into a cornfield. Well, let's see how things are going here. And you shuck back in a couple of ears and you get to this plant and there's no ear. Ah, that's just frustrating, right? There's no ear on this plant. That, you know what that plant has been all year? A weed. It has. It sucked nutrients away from the plant beside it. But it's produced nothing. It's a weed. Just well knock it over. What's the point? It's a weed. Okay? And there's nothing more frustrating to see something get choked out. Now, weeds, you got to deal with weeds, right? I told you that. You got to deal with them. And so that seed gets planted, whether it's among the weeds or not, it has the same potential, but the weeds can choke it out. And the result is no yield. And it's just very frustrating. All right, now, Jesus calls this parable the parable of the sower. But I think there are some implications that we ought to recognize, particularly when it comes to the soils. Because it's easy for us to look at someone else and say with confidence something like, yeah, that's pretty rocky soil over there. I don't think that's going to amount to anything. Let's not waste our time throwing seed there. Or to say with confidence, right? Well, you can see the weeds are going to choke that one out. But I think maybe we need to look at ourselves a little bit when we talk about these four different types of soils and maybe ask the question, which kind of soil am I? Which kind of soil am I? I think a lot of Christians, the weeds choke them out. The weeds choke them out. And the end result is they become unfruitful. Now that corn plant grows with the rest of them all year. And you look across the field and you go, well, yeah, it looks like that's a good plant there. But when you walk out and actually look, there's nothing there. Doesn't bring any fruit. Okay? Luke, I thought in Luke, it's particularly interesting that he used the active voice when he said, they bring no fruit to maturity. Who doesn't? They don't. They don't bring any fruit to maturity. It's tragic for that seed to have all that potential and then to not produce any kind of yield. Okay? So we got to deal with the weeds, guys. I have to deal with the weeds, don't I? I have to deal with the weeds. You know, you guys can help encourage me dealing with the weeds. You can maybe give me some suggestions. This is what's helped me deal with the weeds. But ultimately, it boils down to I got to deal with those weeds. And you know, you don't quite understand how damaging the weeds are to that crop until you've tried to deal with them in your life, especially in somebody else's life. Okay? When you got somebody sitting across the table from you, telling you all the dark, bad things they've done that you really don't want to hear all of that, but you're trying to be a good listener, and you got to, they're looking to you for answers. How do I get these weeds out? You don't really appreciate or understand how damaging those weeds are until you've had to deal with that. Every Christian needs to sit across the table from somebody and have to help them deal with their weeds. It's valuable. It matters. Okay? The weeds are damaging. You don't quite understand that. We tend to blame the sower, right? Well, the sower didn't do a good enough job. That's why. I mean, it's the sower's fault. He wasn't sowing right. He didn't say things right. He didn't do things right. And really, it's the weeds that come and choke it out. The boys were making fun of my planting job this spring. My other boys at home, not Andrew. Well, Andrew might have laughed. I don't know. But my other two little boys at home. Dad, your rows are kind of crooked. Well, we just blame the sower, right? It's his fault. Well, I was driving the tractor, so I guess I had to take some of the responsibility. But I told him this. Here, if you guys can take this home. This is tidbits from the farmer. I told the boys. An old farmer told me. And you guys are listening, aren't you? You want to know? As that corn grows, the rows straighten out. I told the boys. They looked at me kind of skeptical. But anyways, I don't know. The weeds have got to be dealt with. See, you got to deal with it. And it's not always the sower's fault. It's not his fault. You got to deal with the weeds. And so, if you sow, there's the risk that the weeds might choke it out. But are you still going to be willing to take the risk and sow the seed? Are you going to take the risk? Because it is a risk. So that it might get choked out. The last one is the good soil. And so these hear the word of God. They accept the word of God. It produces a crop. Oh, this is when it's fun. Isn't it? When you get to watch that seed grow in someone and see that develop and see that crop come in. It's very rewarding to get that crop in and to see that. Every Christian needs to experience that too. You need to experience that too. The potential of the seed to produce is fun to watch. Okay? But getting that crop takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of hard work, it takes a lot of long days, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Now, here's the other thing you got to remember, guys. The good soil always yields. It always yields. It will. The good soil always yields. It's fun to see the yield come in. You know when you hit the good soil. Man, the big ears start rolling in. It always yields. It does. Okay? And you don't quite understand the value of a crop until you've invested time in getting it to that stage. And every Christian needs to invest time in getting it to that stage. It's very rewarding to see that come rolling in. The only way you're going to get that crop is to take the risk. You've got to open the bag and throw out the seed. It's the only way you're going to get it. Okay? Are you willing to take that risk? And keep on sowing. I'm going to leave you with this, guys. We're about out of time. Recognizing some things that I think we need to recognize today from the parable of the sower. First of all, the realities of sowing. Okay, recognize the realities of sowing. The soil is variable. Not everyone will produce a crop. It's all right. That's the way God set it up. It's okay. That's the reality of it. And I think it's one of the important lessons that we need to learn from the parable. And I think we need to be encouraged to keep sowing anyways. That's just how it's going to be. Some of that seed's going to get snatched up. Some of it's going to get choked out. But some of it's going to yield. And you got to keep sowing. Keep throwing it out there. Keep doing it. And I think that's a real important lesson that we need to learn. What's the sower do? He sows. The one sowing sows. And so there are lots of lessons that can be learned when you have a bumper crop. But there's lessons that can be learned from dealing with the weeds, from watching it get snatched up. You miss out on if you're not sowing. You'll miss out on them. Okay? Lessons that will help you personally, lessons that will help the congregation, lessons that will help the person you're working with, right? But if you're not sowing, you're missing out on all that. You're missing out. Sowing's fun, guys. It's fun. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. There's challenges that go into it, okay? So I think everybody ought to experience that. Every Christian needs to. So that's the first thing. Recognize the variability of the soil when we're sowing. That's what you're going to have to face. So you just have to learn that's the reality. Second thing, recognize the potential of the seed that we get to sow. The potential of the seed. 30, 60, 100 times it will produce. That's exciting. To be able to sow that kind of seed and know that it will produce 30, 60, even 100 times as much. But it's not realized if the seed stays in the bag. Okay? The reward is only going to come from taking the risk. You got to take the risk. As a farmer, I don't get any harvest if I don't first sow the seed. Not going to get any of it. Okay? Every Christian wants to be able to say, yeah, this was one that I helped. I immersed them. I got them where they are today. But you don't get there without taking the risk, right? And going through some of those other things to get there. And I think it's important for every Christian to do that. So my encouragement to you all today, keep sowing. Keep sowing. Recognize the realities, but keep sowing. It's fun. The other reason to keep sowing, Grandma was right. We always have a crop.